Help me. What does that say?
Will not fear.
Oh, that's weak. What?
We will not fear.
Amen. Before I went on vacation, I got to Psalms 91, and I got through verses 1 through 8. I'm going to pick up where I left off, but I'm going to quickly summarize Psalms 1 through 8. I'm not going to touch on anything, but I want to refresh and bring us back the word. Psalms 91, a familiar psalm, but we need to eat this every day. I told you that story about Miss Howard. Before she passed, Jim said she would read this psalm every day. This was her favorite psalm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 and thousands, I'm going to add a little bit, I'm going to put a S on there, may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. That's verses 1 through 8. Now I'm going to quickly just kind of bring you back to where we were. Psalms 91, 1 through 8. This is a promise of favor and protection to those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. This is for those who dwell there, not visit there. This is talking about abiding in Christ, John 15, 4. A person can be born again, but not abide in the vine. And you're going to wither, and you're going to be weak. You're going to be a weak Christian and not a strong Christian. Abiding in Christ, it gives us interest into the protection of the Almighty. The Hebrew word that was translated shadow here is tissel, and it was translated defense. It's good to have offense, but you need a defense. Numbers 14:9, and twice in Ecclesiastes 7:12, those continually trusting in the Lord will have the Lord come to this defense. This faith walk ain't just a day walk, it's a lifelong walk. We don't draw back. We go forward, amen? Forward. That's what I got to do on this program. I got to go forward. That's the down button. It's supposed to be the up button. Know this, that you have to say, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. You got to say that. Our words release power. Proverbs 18, 20 through 21. The promises of God are voice activated. Now, if that's your language, if that's your native language, then that's voice activated. But prayer has got to be, voice got to be activated. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my strength. That's the English word. If you speak Chinese, if that was you saying Chinese, that's voice activated if it's the Word of God. If it's the promises of God, inspired by the Holy Ghost, not by man. Amen. The American Heritage Dictionary defines snare as a trap, often consisting of a noose used for capturing birds and small animals, something that entangles the unwary. Abiding in the secret place of the Almighty will keep us from being captured by the devil and his traps. The Amplified Bible and NIV version translate a noisome pestilence as a deadly pestilence. I can't think of the Zika virus, just to give you an example. That's a plague, but we're talking about pestilence. We're talking about fleas. We're talking about infested rats. Pestilence. A pest. The spring of destruction. The Living Bible says a fatal plague. Bubonic plague. So dwelling in the secret place of the Most High will also keep us from these plagues. Abiding in the vine. This is a word picture of how a mother hen spreads her wings and protects her chicks from the rain, from the heat, from the sun, from the hail, or whatever. Nothing can penetrate God's wings. Amen. If we abide under the Almighty's wings, we are safe. But if we walk out of this secret place willingly, that's the key, willingly walk out. Say, you got mercy out here. When you do stuff, you didn't have light that something was going to happen. When you got a terrorist attack plan, you didn't know that. God's mercy is there for you. But when you willingly get on or do something that you know that God said, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't say that. Don't be there. If you do that willingly, you are getting out from His protection. You're getting out of that armored vehicle. Don't do that. You go where He tells you to go and stay where He tells you to stay. I can't say I ain't going to comment when I open up the Word of God, can I? Don't never say that. Thank you, Jesus. Evil exists, and our only refuge is under His wings. His wings, His protection, His Word, His promises. So this is promising supernatural. Say supernatural. Supernatural. There ain't no Superman out there. Now, it's good to see some things and build up your hope, but Superman ain't there. He's fiction. He's fiction. But Jesus is nonfiction. He's supernatural. Amen. Angels are supernatural. They're there. Christians don't believe sometimes this is possible. They're correct if they don't believe the promises of God. It is impossible. Because God can't do it. He can't please people if they don't believe. He can't help them if they don't believe. But for those of us who believe, we're believers. We believe. We believe when it's unbelievable. Yes. It's when God says it's possible. Impossible, I believe it. God's Word says we can thrive in circumstances, not just survive. We can thrive. Notice what this verse doesn't say. That's Psalms 91:5. It doesn't say there won't be any terror or arrows. It doesn't say there won't be problems. It doesn't say we won't have any battles to fight. It is just promising us protection and victory in the midst of our battles if we say, the Lord is my refuge. In Him will I trust. Amen. And then you got to get the promises out there. You got to speak those promises. 1,000 shall fall by my side. 10,000 at my right hand, Lord, but you said it will not come near me. That's speaking His promises. The English word pestilence there in verse 6 was translated from the Hebrew word Deber. Well, I don't know the exact definition, I'll say it real fast. Dever, and just go on. I dever to undo this. This same word was translated murin in Exodus 9:3. This is speaking of some kind of plague. We can be protected from plagues. We are protected. We can be protected. Amen, amen means so be it. That'd be a good time to say amen. So be it. Our last verse in the first section of this, verse 8, this is promising us absolute victory to those who dwell, to those who visit there. Is that what it means, to visit there? No, it means to dwell there in the secret place of the Most High. Many Christians don't believe that faith in the Lord grants them deliverance from plagues. But guess what? They won't be delivered from plagues because you've got to believe His promises. Yes. You've got to believe. Yes. That's why it doesn't work for them. Well, we're not those that don't believe. We're believers. You want a t-shirt? I'll order some t-shirts. We're believers. I think some of the kids at Spirit of Faith, we had t-shirts like that one time. We are believers. We believe. And then you have it on the back of it, we believe the Word of God. What do you believe? Turn around. The Word of God. Amen. I'm covered front and back. I believe the Word of God and His promises. Today we're going to talk about the habitation. Habit. Anybody know what a habit is? I had many. It was hard to break. It was impossible for me to break until Jesus set me free. I heard a message a couple weeks ago. He set me free, but I had to get into the Word to get free. I had to know a truth that my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I don't want to smoke anymore. He set me free, but I had to work on it. I had to ask the Lord for help on it. I had to desire to not want to. I'm talking about me. I'm not pointing no fingers. I'm talking about me. And then I spoke for many years. But Jesus set me free. Amen. And it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight. But it did set me free, and now I don't think about that anymore. It's not a habit anymore. It had a hold on me. Jesus had a hold on me too. And He loves you. Amen. And He's not against you. He's for you. Yes. I'm going to read Psalms 91:9 through 16, and then we'll pick up here. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. So I'm believing by faith you've done that. And if you haven't done it, you're going to do it. No evil shall befall you. This is the Lord prophesying. This is a prophecy. Prophecies are still happening today because Jesus is alive. Yes. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels, say angels, angels, charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him high because he has known my name. There's no other name above the name of Jesus. That's as high as you can go in the life chain. We're not talking about food, we're talking about the life chain. That's as high as you can get. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. But you got to call. Amen. Jeremiah 33 and 3. That's God's, one of God's phone numbers. Jeremiah 33 and 3. You can look it up. I will be with him in trouble. I did a message on trouble. There's trouble out there. But there's an answer. There's a way out. I will deliver him and I will honor him with long life. Say long life, good adjective. Long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Show him my salvation. All right, let's go dig into this a little bit. Psalms 91:9. The Hebrew word that was translated refuge here is referring to a shelter. You ever been to a good old camp meeting? You get underneath the arbor? Underneath that shelter. God is a shelter to those who trust in him. To those who trust in him. Again, we can walk out from under this shelter. And when we do that, we can walk out from underneath his protection. But that's a choice we have to make willingly. Amen. Not ignorantly. He's got mercy there for you. See, he knows the devil's future, but he also knows his tactics. He knows his traps. He can see every trap the devil has for you. And when we call upon him, like the psalm says, the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. He'll say, don't go there. Don't be there. Don't stay there. Don't eat there. Amen. Don't eat there. He knows who's cooking the food. But even if you do, you pray and you bless and you sanctify it. See, God is there to serve you and protect you. But for those who make the Most High their habitation, God is a sure refuge. We make the Most High. We make a decision. Lord, you are my King. You're the only one I bow down to. It's King Jesus. Amen. Verse 10. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. How can this be? We certainly don't see this across the board with God's people. Think about when the floods come, hurricanes come. Got good people out there losing their homes, different things. Think about Louisiana when the bank, when that, those levees broke. But we don't see the majority of God's people fulfilling the requirements of this psalm either. Before the storms, were they out there quoting Psalms 91? Were they reinforcing the word to protect their land, to do miracles? Lord, the banks, he could overflow, but God makes the Red Sea with a blast of his nostrils split and depart. He's the same miracle-working God. He's the same God of the Old Testament as he is in the New. But Moses had to step his foot in by faith. Because God said, you're going to the promised land. It wasn't right there. So we have to step out sometimes and we got to speak to things. Jesus spoke to storms. Amen. You can speak to them by faith. Because we're going to be that majority that we do see the impossible. We do see the supernatural. God's promises complete, or he promises us complete protection from evil and plagues. Just add a D on that. He protects us from the devil. Amen. Because he is the author of all evil. The devil. But notice they don't come nigh our dwelling. not even nigh. They're not supposed to come nigh our dwelling. This whole psalm was written to those whose habitation is under the shadow of the Almighty. The Bible talks about in heaven there is no shadow of turning. There's no darkness in heaven at all. I was just talking recently to somebody, and we were talking about when we get to heaven. I was actually talking to my sister. A question she asked me, and I can only give her the answer because I knew the one who had the answer. And I thank God for your prayers. She came home yesterday. My sister, who'd been up there probably a week battling sinus infection, but she's got some other issues in her body. But they got her out. I went there and was seeing her, Lewis, and the nurses was gone, but she started talking faith. She asked me, and she was really emotional. She was on medications, but my aunt and uncles went through throat cancer. He got diagnosed with cancer, and they're Christians. Well, the devil don't see us labeled as good Christians, bad Christians. When he sees a Christian, he sees God's people. And he don't like us. He is the thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus, that's not the end of the verse. That's John 10. That's John 9. John 10, 9. But Jesus said, I'm come that you may have. Not mayhem. He don't want you to have mayhem. That you may have life. God's kind of life. And have it more abundantly. Yes. Jesus has already fought the battle. He's already went to the cross. And I was trying to tell my sister, why do these good people, are they suffering? There's reasons, but it's not God. Either it's the devil. Either it's this fallen world that we're in. These plagues, these sicknesses, these diseases. Or it's just my fault. And that's usually the major thing, is I haven't done what the Word says for me to do. I haven't been dwelling in that secret place of the Most High. I haven't been saying, Lord, you are my refuge, before the storm. See, that's the key. You got to say these things before the storm. Because if you try to say them before, when the storm hits, and you haven't been saying them, then faith is not activated. See, this faith walk is not a day walk. It's a lifelong walk. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, but we got to live by faith if we want to see the storm dissipate. Jesus spoke to the storm and it left, because he has authority and he's given it to his church. This is why good people suffer. There's all kind of reasons, but it's in the Word, but you got to sit down and you got to build a relationship with that person. You got to find out where they're at. But I told my sister, God gave me a word going up there. I was listening to Lewis's message on the way to the hospital, and he was preaching about God gave him a vision here at the church to set his people free. He wants us free. He wants my sister free. He wants you free. He wants all his people free. Amen. He ain't changed. Amen. He ain't changed his mind when he spoke to Moses. He said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Mm-hmm. We're still his people. Yes. And he still wants us free. Amen. But we have a part to play. We're the actors now. Jesus is the producer. He's done produced all this. Now we've got to, just like I told my sister, this is a word of knowledge. She was asking me these questions, and the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. What's a word of knowledge, Pastor? Something I didn't know the Lord knew I needed to say. I said, Teresa, you know what a parrot does? I'm talking about a bird. Anybody know what a parrot does? Get a picture. What does he do? What does he do? He repeats what he hears. I said, Teresa, this is what we need to do. Simple. Jesus wants to make the gospel simple. He wants to make living in the blessings of the Lord simple. Just parrot what Jesus said. Amen. The words that I speak to you, they are life. Yes. Speak life. Speak life over a situation. Amen. Well, I'm sick, Pastor. Speak, I'm healed. Sickness, you got to let loose of me, because Jesus, amen, by his stripes, I'm healed. You got to parrot. You got to say what Jesus said. Just keep it simple, like a parrot. What'd he say? What does Psalm 91 say? We got to say that. That's what Miss Howard would be saying. You got to say that psalm. But you got to know it before you can say it. See, this Bible ain't going to do you no good just carrying it around. This Bible ain't going to do you no good just laying underneath your pillow when you go to bed at night. It's not going to protect you. It's just pages on the book. That seed, that tomato seed, if you keep it in the package, is not going to give you tomatoes. What do you do, farmers? You got to plant the seed in the soil. You got to take God's word and you got to put it in your heart. And you got to put it in your heart and you got to keep it in the ground. How do you keep it in the ground? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing. And hearing. So you keep it in the ground because the devil wants to take it out. The Bible says the devil, that was the other part that I told her. I said, Poke, that's my nickname for my sister. Poke, I said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his purpose. God didn't create him to be that purpose. That's what he decided he was going to be, a fallen angel. God created him to be a praise and worship angel. His name was Lucifer. But he changed his destiny. He changed it. It says when sin, pride was found in his heart. God didn't put it there. And after that, he deceived mankind. So Poke is now wanting to know, well, how do I do this? How do I do that? How can I be prosperous? Devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he comes immediately to try to steal the word that gets in your heart. So when you got to keep this word in your heart, and you got to keep it coming out of your mouth. And when you keep coming, when it keeps coming out of your mouth, what you're doing, you're putting roots down in the ground. See, when you keep saying it, your roots are going deeper. They're getting deeper. They're getting deeper. So when the storms of life come by, if you got your roots in the ground, what happens, boys, when the trees, the roots are deep in the ground? But if you get a seed and you don't give it, you put it on some soil that has about that much soil, and the roots are way out here, and that wind comes, what's going to, if you just hang your clothes on it, a little clothes hanger on that branch, what's going to happen? That thing's just going to topple over. See, we don't want to be a toppling over Christians. When the storms of life come, we got to get the roots down. Yes. And those roots are looking for water. They're looking for that living water. Yes. That's the word of God. Yes. That's going to sustain us. That's what Psalms 91. We will not fear if we get this word, get anchored and rooted and grounded and stay in this word. Yes. This has got to be our dwelling place. Amen. Notice that the Lord gives charge. I'm giving you charge here today. Yes. And I mentioned a while back, and there's good teaching on angels, but really it's better if we just command the word, if we just speak the word, because they are commanded to hearken to the voice of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Don't try to just bully your angels around. Now, there's certain times now, if somebody's coming against you, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit gives you, but you speak the word, because they're there to make the word work. Yes. When you speak God's word, they are commanded by God to make it happen, to do what they need to do to protect you. We aren't smart enough to command our angels unless we're speaking the word. Much of what angels do are preventative. They can't preach the gospel. God sent us to preach the gospel. But they're there to protect you while you're preaching it. From people trying to shoot you or come in the door and stab you and kill you. Well, why has it happened to the priest? That's what we're learning. Psalms 91, you got to live there. You got to dwell there. Yes. Not everybody knows this. Not everybody's doing what Jesus said to do. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. My commandments, not man's commandments. Not the church's commandments if it's not his. You keep my words, what I have said. A lot of the church don't know his words because the preachers won't give it to them. That's religious bondage. God wants his people free. He's going to send you and he's going to send me to those people. We don't know we're in trouble until after the fact. So how could we command them properly? Talking about angels. Jesus said, children's angels behold the face of their Father in heaven continually. Matthew 18:10. They do his commands and hearken to the voice of his word. Psalms 103:20. Jesus is the word of God. John 1:1 and 14. Angels follow the directions of the commander of the host of the armies of God, Jesus. Satan tried to use this verse to tempt Jesus, remember? Jesus into throwing himself off the pinnacle of the temple. He's doing that to a lot of people today. Commit suicide, just jump. You'll be a whole lot better off in your family. That's a lie from the devil. Luke 4:10. But Jesus, the devil left out a very important part of the scripture. He didn't quote it, in all thy ways. He'll keep thee in all thy ways. God's power doesn't work for us when we're doing our own thing. In the flesh. We have to be abiding under the shadow of the Almighty and walking in His ways for the blessings of this psalm to work. It's called a law of faith. That seed will not work if you don't put it in the ground. Faith will not work if you don't put the Word of God in your heart. and meditate on it day and night. It's got to become you. It's got to become a part of you. Amen? I'm not saying you're not born again. We're talking about living the life that God, Zoe life. This is why. He's guilty. We can always be doing better. Amen? Best is yet to come. If. Amen? If we'll do this or do that. So Satan took away this verse and added to the next verse in an attempt to distort the true meaning. He's trying to twist it to say what he wants it to say. Instead of what God says, I speak the word, I change not, I lie not. Once he said it, it's done. He's still doing the same thing today. Hasn't changed. Psalms 91:12, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Talking about those angels. Satan misquoted this verse to Jesus during the temptation in the wilderness. Matthew 4:6 says, Satan added lest at any time to the promise that the Lord would keep him from dashing his foot against a stone. That's not accurate. This protection of God doesn't work at any time at any under circumstances. You have to be abiding underneath the shadow of the Almighty. That's where the promise is. It's in His Word. It's in the Word. The Bible says don't add to this Word, don't take from this Word. From the blessing of this book. Don't add to and don't take it away. The flesh loves to add to. The devil's a flesh devil. Psalms 91:1. If Jesus had tried to appropriate the protection of this verse just to tempt the Lord, Matthew 4:7, that would have been sin and it would have not worked. Satan will try to use scriptures against us. He knows the word. He just don't live by it. Amen? He lives against it. He's against you. God's for you. But he will never use it correctly, the devil won't. A casual knowledge of scripture is just enough to get us in trouble. That's why we've got to meditate on it day and night, night and day. We need to study the Word, 2 Timothy 2:15, so that we can rightly divide the Word. What is it meaning? What is it saying? Study. If you come to this church long enough, we're going to teach. You know, we teach the Word here because it's a principle. We've got to. We've got to preach it. We've got to teach it. We teach it. We proclaim it. Psalms 91:13. Turn my page now. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. A lion is the king of the jungle. An adder is one of the most poisonous snakes, causing death within a matter of hours. A young lion is the strongest of all lions. And a dragon is the strongest of all. But those who trust in the Lord in a way where they dwell underneath His protection will defeat them all. The devil goes about as a roaring lion. Yeah. Defeat. We can defeat him. Yes. If we're abiding underneath the shadow of the Almighty, we know his tactics. This is the devil. This ain't the Word of God. That ain't what the Word says. See, take what I say today and you go home and you make sure the pastor's quoting it right. See, you get in there for yourself. You can't live on my manna. You got to live on your manna, your revelation. And it's not a new revelation. It's the Word. Right? When I say a new revelation, it might be new to you. The light came on. That's a new revelation. There's nothing new underneath the sun, Ecclesiastes says. Nothing new underneath this Word. Heaven and earth's going to pass away, but His Word's going to never pass away. But it might be a new revelation to you, and you walk on that, you chew on that, you grow on that. Of course, the devil, he is compared to a lion, 1 Peter 5:8, and a dragon. That's Revelations 12:3-4 and 7-9. This promises total victory. Say total victory. Over the devil. To the believer who is trusting in the Lord for protection. I mean, we was having this conversation last night about 9/11 and all the people that lost their lives, and we were talking. We don't hear the story. We hear a lot of the bad stories, but we don't hear the good testimonies of somebody that, a Christian that didn't, their alarm clock didn't go off that morning. Or their flight, their cab was delayed. But there's a lot of stories, there's a lot of testimonies out there of Christian people that didn't make it to that tower. Well, why did the other ones go? I'm not saying this is the fact, but this is one of the reasons. Maybe they weren't abiding underneath the shadow of the Almighty. Maybe they wasn't listening to the Lord that day in particular, or maybe months and months prior. See, God is always speaking. His frequency is always on. We need to be tuned in to channel 91 and 1 until you know it, whether the radio's on or off. It's always on. I know Psalms 91:1. Now I pray this for our police officers and military men. Might be some in this church. You know, one of my sons heading that way, criminal justice. Man, thank God that they can strap a badge and a firearm on. But man, Psalms 91:1, I thank God my kids know this. Because that's what's going to help them survive in this earth. The gun's there too. That's good to have. I'm sorry. However, we aren't delivered from persecution. All that I said, we're delivered from. But persecution, 2 Corinthians 12 and 7 and 2 Timothy 3 and 12, persecution is going to come for the word's sake. The devil's going to try to come and make you feel ashamed of who you are. Put you on the spot. Johnny on the spot. It's one of them Jesus people, one of them holy roller people. Persecution, people's going to say things about you. Take your shot. But I'm dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. Don't let the devil draw you out from your protection. Right. Don't get offended. Because right. If you don't get offended, you'll get blessed. Amen. Get better, not bitter, with their words. Love them. Pray for them. Amen. Give them the scripture. Give them the promise. Amen. Psalms 91:14. Because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. This psalm started by talking about the person who dwelt in the secret place of the Most High and abides under the shadow of the Almighty. In this verse, it is saying all these promises come to pass for those who set their love upon the Lord. That's what Chloe represented today. 2 weeks ago, she set her love upon the Lord. I'm a soul on fire. See, once you set your heart upon the Lord, he's going to set your soul on fire. See, your spirit's already changed. Now your body, your soul is going to be on fire to know him. And that's one of the things I told her. I said, what's your next step? What do you do, Chloe? And she's talking about spending time with God. I said, yeah, what does a parent do? As a baby, you feed that baby milk, and then that baby comes off milk and gets some meat. But that baby spends time and builds a relationship with their parents. And then one day that child grows up and it walks out into the world, and it's a better child because of that parent. You're going to be a better Christian because of spending time with Father God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's going to make you a strong Christian. So you can go defeat principalities and powers. You can go out here and take on the kingdom of darkness. And that's loving people. Yes. Even when they're not lovely, loving people. Yes. Loving them to Jesus. And that's what Chloe's going to do. That's what all Christians are supposed to be doing. Amen. Setting our love upon the Lord and dwelling in the secret place are the same thing. It's through love that we enter that secret place and dwell there. I'll give this one example as I go on. Teresa was asking about why good people suffer. I said, look at John the Baptist. I said, Teresa, me and you, we're family. But not only are we brother and sister, we're brother and sister in the Lord also. That's a stronger bond. Amen. John and Jesus, they were cousins. That was his cousin. And John got put in prison because he seen something they were doing was ungodly. And he said it. He said he's seen it, and he said it because that's what he's called to do. It's prophesy what the word of God says.
Yes.
And they had his head cut off. Shut him up. Yeah, they shut him up. And I asked my sister, and I said, now what did you, when they brought that news to Jesus, what did he do? What would we have done if somebody took my cousin's head off? You know what we want to do? Jesus was tempted too. He wanted to do this. He wanted to go take that sword just like Peter did and go cut their head off. That's what he wanted to do. But that ain't what God wanted to do. Come on, what did Jesus do? Do you remember? Love. He abides underneath the shadow of the Almighty. He could have came out from underneath that protection and fought for his cousin. But no, he went against the kingdom of darkness. He said, devil, you took my cousin's head, but I'm going to go out here and I'm going to start healing people. Yeah. Delivering people. Telling people how much God loves them and set them free. Amen. And he done more damage than he could do against. Yeah, he could have went back there and he could have had a rebel and they could have went and they could have overthrown and they would have got the applause of man. Yep. But the devil would have won. Because that's what he wanted Jesus to do. Yeah. He wanted him to come and get him off track and get him off course. But Jesus don't listen to the devil. He don't do his plans. He does only what I hear the Father say. And the Father said, okay, son, go out there and start laying hands on people and pray for them to get healed. And the devil was crying because people were getting saved. Not saved, but yeah, that was part of salvation. Show them my salvation. I said that right. You don't have to be born again to be healed. I mean, who wants to go to hell being healed? You understand what I'm saying? But Jesus, before he went to the cross, he was healing people, delivering people. And what did that do? The signs are there to make you hungry. They're to set you free. When you get free, you can't go nowhere. If you go somewhere else and there's bondage there, who in the right mind would want to stay there? If you get set out of jail, get a get out of jail free card, do you want to go back? No, unless you want to go back like Jack and preach the gospel to them. Get some others out. But man, Jesus went and he destroyed the works of darkness. And what he did, he set his love upon them. He went there and set his love upon his people. And faith worketh by love. And there are the miracles. There's the healings. You want to see miracles happen in your life? You want to see healings manifest quickly in your body? Just reach out and love somebody. Tell them about Jesus. Pray for them. You're sowing seed. You're manifesting the love of God in your life. It's amazing to think that God honors us. But that is exactly what Psalms 91:15 says. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. That's honor. That's honor. When the king shows up for you, that's honor. Amen. Amen. You're royalty. We are kings and priests unto God. Yes. Not because of what I done, but what Jesus did. Yes. 1 John 5:14-15, American Standard Version says, and this is the boldness. Elaine, say boldness. This is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions. It's granted. Stamp of approval. It's coming to pass. God can't lie. You do what he says, you'll have what he is. 91:16, our last verse. With long life. I took a breath because I've been out here preaching. I needed a good intake. With long life. Long life will he satisfy us and show us his salvation. What is long life? In the previous psalm, Moses said that the Lord allotted 70 years. But through strength, we can last 80. Through strength. How do we get strength? The joy of the Lord is my strength. You want to live longer? Start laughing. Start laughing. Start seeing the devil. Start seeing Jesus whoop the devil. Start laughing at the devil. If he tries to bring something, just start laughing at him. Jesus, devil, you're defeated. I'm underneath the shadow of the Almighty. Yeah, I might have a pain in my body, but guess what? It's leaving in Jesus' name because you ain't the healer. He is. And I'm going to take my time and I'm going to worship him right now. As I'm going through this, I'm going to worship Jesus and it's going to go. Amen. See, because you got to actively resist the devil. That means resist means you got to actively fight against him. Actively fight against him. That's not with your sword in your sheath. That's with your sword out. The Word of God. You got to get it out. Keep it out. Keep swinging it. Cut his head off. Like David, cut that giant's head off. What was Goliath saying? He was saying big words, wasn't he? He was cussing the people of God, the covenant of God. God says, the words you speak will come back on you. That's what happened to Goliath. Quickly. I mean, he'd been speaking the words, and David knew his covenant. He knew God. And he cut Goliath's head off with his own sword, with the giant sword. Not David didn't have a sword. He had a rock and a sling. Yeah. But he had a covenant with God. God will give you the weapon you need. Amen. Amen? And it's the Word of God. Yes. But it'll be a specific word. Somebody needs to hear this. You've been asking God, well, why is this happening, Lord? Why hasn't it left? Why hasn't it changed? You need the specific weapon he's telling you. The specific promise that you need. That's the word that you need. Yes. Amen? You listen. And you hear, and then he answers, and then you say what he says. You parrot what he just said. And watch that thing stop. Watch it stop that quick. Psalms 90:10 talks about this promise. That wasn't the maximum, because Moses himself lived to be 120. That's Deuteronomy 34:7. Not only did he live to be 120, he had strength to climb a mountain. So he was full of the Holy Ghost and power. Now, when I say full of the Holy Ghost, it was upon him. Not in him, but it was upon him. Enough to get him to where was strength until he left this place. This verse says we will be satisfied. If we aren't satisfied, we just keep going. Remember the little energizer buddy? Yeah. The bunny? Yeah. Just keep going. Just keep going, 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 going. The devil says they ain't never giving up. But there'll be some that'll draw back. Bible tells there'll be some. Don't be that one that draws back. You're not the ones that's going to draw back. We're going to draw the sword. It's important to remember that the key to this whole psalm and all its promises is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I want you to say this. We will not fear. We will not fear. For greater is He, the Holy Ghost, that's in me than He, The devil that's in the world. You see, I gave the devil lowercase. Yeah. But I gave the Holy Ghost the uppercase. Because he is the upper class. Yeah. I don't even give the devil he gets lower, whatever he is. He's under your feet. Don't ever give him the uppercase. Amen. Don't ever give him the upper foot in your life. We're going to end here. I've got a song that Daniel's going to play. As I switch over here. As this song plays, whatever you need, I want you to come down for prayer if you need prayer. If not, sit there where you need. If you need me to pray, come where you are and pray. But we fight. And we fight by praying. That's one of the songs we played this morning, sang this morning. But we got to pray the right prayer. We got to say the right words. Anything you need this morning, can you come to the altar?
Down on their knees. thank you for those people praying all this time for me. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, Lord, I believe somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying.